Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Got the band back together today.
Absolutely.
Happy to be back with you guys. Full strength. I was filling in for Jared yesterday. He was traveling to Minnesota for the joint practices with the Titans and the Vikings. But happy to be back. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Voltron is back together. So, do you even know about Voltron?
I don't even know what Voltron is.
Yeah, Willie, she doesn't even know about Voltron.
I don't know a whole lot about Voltron.
Yeah, I loved
it's
Voltron.
Not my,
strong
suit.
But... I love Voltron. Voltron, a symbol. And all these robots with a symbol. Like the... They're all like lions and all this stuff. They would assemble and make this huge, big, mega robot. It was the stuff.
Sometimes I feel like whenever you bring back Blast from the past, that maybe you're just messing with me.
No,
you're
seriously.
You're just gaslighting me.
No, Voltron.
Like, what do you mean you don't know who the Squiddly Bops are? They were huge in the
80s. Well, we got those.
I don't know who the Squiddly Bops are. But Voltron is real. I'm going to pull it up.
Well, happy to be back today. And also, Willie, big day for you as well. Stars trivia tonight at Boombahs in East Nashville.
Yes, it's going to be fun. We have gotten a lot of teams that are going to come in, but we got plenty of room. If you want to come tonight at Boombahs East for trivia night, a lot of us are going to be there. You two will be in attendance. Uh-huh. Got some Preds broadcasters that are going to be there tonight. The Eastsiders will be in full force, no question about it. And if you just want to come out and have some fun, look, you don't have to sign up ahead of time necessarily. You can make your call, get your team together. But I guarantee you, if you want to have a good night of fun, they'll have the games on, they have good food, you get $2 beers, great prizes. We went over the prizes yesterday. Cliff McCardle from our staff, I'm telling you, if you like any kind of music, there will be a concert at a venue that you will – be fired up to go to if you win. So $20 per person. It goes to Stars, and we'll be raising money for a great cause, and it's going to be fun. So tonight at 7 at Boombahs East.
I'm surprised.
Near the Five Points area.
Y'all ain't heard that song. Fair East Side. The movie.
Just bringing out all the references today.
Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Jump. If you want to jump, Sam's, jump. Jump, Sam's. Sam's like, I don't want to jump. I don't want to jump.
Lean on me.
Lean on me.
Lean on
me. I don't want to jump.
I saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
What's his name? Joe? His name is Joe something.
Joe Clark.
Joe Clark.
They call me Batman. They call me Batman.
Yeah. He's got his style, Mr. Clark. Mm-hmm. He gets those guys straightened up.
It was a true story.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. That I'm just now learning of today. But
wow.
happy
you
to
just
be
learned
here.
About Voltron, which is the only thing I pulled up Voltron for you.
Little purple
and then
guys.
You learned on Lean on Me.
I feel like a new woman today.
There you go.
Thanks to you too.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm excited for trivia tonight. I'll be out there bringing a big group of my friends. So excited for that. Excited
Good.
To help out Stars Nashville. Also a very exciting day because it is joint practice day. And now, throughout all of my worrying and my, you know, sleepless nights, worrying about the Tennessee Titans, Derek's voice has helped me through it, where he says, just wait till the joint practices, because that's when you're really going to start to see this offensive line get, you know, get challenged by a different defensive line. That's when you're going to start to see a little bit more. It's not just your team going up against another team, and it's not just your second and third string. It's going to be your first team going up against their first team. So I said, okay, fine. I will wait. I will put my worrying on the back burner until the joint practices. And now, finally, we are here. Titans kicking off practice with the Minnesota Vikings today. So they'll have joint practice today, tomorrow, day off on Friday, and then the preseason game on Saturday night. But now that we are here, Vikings, Titans, preseason games, the number one thing that I am excited to look for is the offensive line. Because I think the offensive line, they had a fine day, a fine series in that preseason game against the Bears. But we've also kind of added a little bit of an asterisk to that of – you're going up against a Bears defensive front that was ranked, I think, 30th in the league this past season, and they weren't even at full force. So I'm excited to see that offensive line get tested even further today and throughout the rest of the week in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's going to – this is what, you know, I was sort of waiting on, because I knew the first preseason game, the starters were not going to play – at all, at least the important starters, the quarterback, the running back, and some of the receivers. And then when you're going through camp, I mean, after the first week and a half, 2 weeks, it just becomes just like Groundhog's Day. And you get to know them, they get to know you as far as your own team. It's not like y'all don't know each other. Y'all been practicing against each other for the last, you know, forever, it seems. But it's harder to sort of gauge how well you're doing because you're only practicing against yourself. It's when you – that's why they had a preseason games. And now that they've taken a preseason game away, more teams are electing to do these joint practices. We saw Baltimore and Washington have theirs and plenty other teams that have had theirs. And this is where – because this is where you're going to get as close to game simulation as you can. You know, you can't even get game simulation when you're practicing against one another. You get close to it when you're practicing against another team. So this is what I was waiting for. How does the first team, because now the first teamers are going to play against their first team defense. How does your first team react to their first team defense? There's been some up and down with the Titans offense. Let's see how now they react. That's why I said, well, do we know if the defense is really that good or if the offense is really that bad? Well, we will find out this week.
Right, because we have plenty of excuses. And when I say excuses, I don't necessarily mean that they're bad excuses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in practice, it's, okay, well, the offensive line might just be fine. Like, the offensive line might be decent, but it's just going up against what we think is going to be a really good defensive line. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad excuse. It's just an excuse or maybe something to look at in practice of, well, maybe the offensive line isn't bad as we think. Or maybe, unfortunately, the glass half empty perspective of that is maybe the defensive line isn't as good as we think and the offensive line is just that bad. So that kind of at least clarifies that couching that we've done throughout training camp of good offensive play, bad defensive play, and vice versa. So what else are we looking at? I'm looking at the offensive line. I'm excited to see this offensive line get tested against a unit that's a little bit more of an unknown. What else are we looking at this week?
Something else that Mike Vrabel said that he was looking forward to. One of the reasons that this was interesting to him was going up against Kirk Cousins. You know, while we all think of Kirk Cousins as a guy that's not quite a great quarterback, mm-hmm. he said – Kirk Cousins is a great guy to practice against because he's so good at processing mm-hmm. and knowing where to go with the ball. He said it's a really good thing for your defense to go up against a guy like that. So I think the defensive backs will be in the limelight, especially with who he throws to. You've got Justin Jefferson, maybe the best receiver in football right now. Would you dispute that?
No,
Derek, he might be number one right now. And he's got a lot of other good weapons. The Vikings are an intriguing team. But I think it'll be a great test for the secondary. So that's one thing I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's going to be. I need to see this offense versus this defense, the Minnesota Vikings defense. This is not a good Vikings defense. They gave up over 25 points per game, I believe, last year or close to it.
I didn't think I could name a single defensive player for the Vikings other than Danielle Hunter.
Exactly. This Vikings team, they were giving up close to 5 yards per rush. They're not going against the 2000 Titans or Ravens defense. They're going against a defense that needs to get better. I think they changed defensive coordinators, I believe. So they see exactly what other teams see, that this defense wasn't good last year, and they need to make it better, especially with the type of offense they have. So I'm going to be looking at how this offensive line and those receivers and tight ends. I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill. I'm just not.
Why not?
Because I think Ryan, he's sort of like Kirk Cousins. You know, he's good at processing a lot of things. He's not a elite quarterback, but he's a really good quarterback. So I don't think there's things that the Minnesota Vikings are going to do defensively that is going to confuse Ryan Tannehill. I want to see if these guys on the outside can get open against a defense that's not good. You know, get to see a Treylon Burks. Get to see, you know, D-Hop in a role that is going to be more similar to the role he plays during the season. Are they going to line him up in a slot a lot? Are they going to put him outside? Because it's easy to put him outside when you're practicing against yourself. It's a little bit harder to put him outside if you're practicing against someone else. So I want to see whether they put him outside, put him inside. How do they do that three wide receiver rotation? Is it Phillips, D-Hop, and Traylon? Or is it D-Hop, Traylon, and Chris Moore? So those are the things that I want to see. And then how does Tim Kelly, because in the game there was three wide, there was two tight end packages. I don't think they went a two running back package during the game, but they did a lot of, you know, spreading them out, three wide receivers, two tight ends, screen play. So I want to see how Tim Kelly sort of calls practice. Mm-hmm. Is it going to resemble more of a game type situation, or they're still trying to tinker with things within the offense?
Willie, are you worried about Ryan Tannehill?
I think this would be good for him. It looks pretty clear that they don't want to play him in the actual game, so I think this is where you get good work in. This is probably an important time to try to build that role definition as much as you can with guys in new slots, with Hopkins in there, trying to expand the role of Okonkwo, trying to expand the role of Burks. This is probably a pretty critical time for that. I'm not worried about Tannehill at all. I don't think we're going to see. We discussed this yesterday. We had a little bit of a fantasy wrinkle to it. One of the things that makes Tannehill effective is his ability to run. And I still think in this, even though it's a little closer to live situation, you're probably not going to see truly if he's going to be able to be as effective running the ball when he needs to as you will in the regular season. But to me, that's a big part of it. But I think he's the least of my worries right now. I think it's a lot more about role definition of his receivers, offensive line, in terms of the offense.
I am worried. I think I'm just more so worried about the first team offense and in a trickle down effect that impacts the quarterback. I'm worried about the offensive line that directly affects Ryan Tannehill. I'm interested, maybe not necessarily worried is the correct word. I'm intrigued with this receiving core, and that directly affects Ryan Tannehill. So I am worried about Ryan Tannehill. We have seen a couple practices as of late where he was turning the football over. He had a bad interception before this last preseason game. But that's what I want to get into coming up next, is how much have the Titans already decided what they want to do against the Vikings in the preseason game on Saturday? And how much will, if at all, this week in practice affect that game plan? We'll get into that coming up next. How does that affect Ryan Tannehill? Caroline Willie DeMace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063, the game.
Too early in camp to be that concerned about the pass protection, some of the struggles they had early on.
I mean, yeah, we're 5 days in, or, you know, five or six practices in. So, you know, a lot of work still to be done. You know, I don't think in any aspect of our team is where it should be or where we want it to be. You know, we're going to keep foot on the gas and keep going. You know, I think there's a lot of training camp left and a lot of practices we have left, a lot of time in the meeting room we have left. So got to take advantage of every day, keep the foot on the gas and keep improving.
That was Ryan Tannehill at the podium a few weeks ago. Hey, your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So the Titans going out in the practice field in Minnesota, first joint practice of the season. And so much of what we've been talking about throughout training camp over the last couple of weeks has been couched with, okay, but wait till the preseason games, wait until the joint practices, because that's when you're going to see your first team against another first team. When you'll start to get answers to the questions of, okay, well, is the offense not very good, or is the defense just that good that they can make any offense look silly? We'll start to get answers to those questions whenever Ryan Tannehill and this offensive line is going up against the Minnesota defense. But I asked you both this question before the break. Are you worried about Ryan Tannehill? And not worried about Ryan Tannehill and the fact that, you know, are we worried about him being able to run this offense? Because I'm not too worried about Ryan Tannehill being able to do that. But In Jim Wyatt's most recent mailbag on TennesseeTitans.com, he mentions that he doesn't expect to see many of the starters on Saturday. But I almost think that this week should dictate how many of the starters you see on Saturday. Because if Ryan Tannehill goes out there against the Minnesota defense and has a fantastic couple of practices, then fine. I don't need to see him on Saturday. We're good. But if Ryan Tannehill goes out there, the offensive line doesn't look very good. Ryan Tannehill's turning the football over. He's throwing interceptions. Then I think I'd probably like to see Ryan Tannehill on Saturday. I'd like to see him get those game reps. I'd like him to start to get even more in-game experience with this line, with these receivers, within this offense. So I don't want the Titans to have a game plan for what they're doing on Saturday. I want the Titans to let the Titans dictate what they do on Saturday based off of what we see this week.
Yeah, I believe if they do, within the next 3 days, because they'll practice today and Thursday, they won't do anything Friday, I'm sure, because Saturday's the game. I'm sure if they have good practices Thursday and today and tomorrow, that may dictate what Vrabel does as a head coach as far as who's going to play, who's not. If they struggle, I do fully anticipate, the first unit, at least the offensive line and even possibly some of the receivers minus D-Hop. Because they're in this weird – I think a lot of teams get in this weird space now that there's only three preseason games as opposed to four, and then they're doing this because you don't want – one, you don't want to show too much to the team that you're practicing against. And then, two, you still don't want to go out there and get your guys injured. You feel if you can get them through the 2 days, today and tomorrow, then Saturday, some coaches, like, they don't want to play their starters. Some coaches say, hey, listen, we've seen enough during the 2 days. We know where we're at. We've evaluated ourselves. Some coaches are fine with it. And some coaches are not, but they still don't want to risk sending their starters out there and getting hurt.
But do you want to risk your starters not being ready for week one?
I think they could.
That's an even bigger risk, I think.
They could deal with that. I think they believe that they still have enough time, regardless of what happens practicing this week and then the game Saturday. They believe they still have time to get everything together. It's not a rush. It's not like a week before the season we're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, do we have an offense? Do we have an offensive line that can hold up the whole season? They still have over a month to figure this thing out. So if they do bad, I almost expect them not to throw their guys out there. And if they do good, then that's just an excuse to say, hey, listen, we've seen all we needed to see. We don't need to put them out there. We're good.
Mike Vrabel doesn't strike me as a guy that will change his plan based on what he sees in a practice or two here. I'm curious if the offensive line will get some reps again on Saturday, more so than Tannehill. Tannehill and Henry, to me, and Hopkins, mm-hmm. to me, would be in a category aside from some of the other starters. Like, I do think the offensive line, there's an argument to be made. The more they play together, the better. Mm-hmm. Keep them going. Use Saturday to your advantage with that. That would be my thought. But I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to say, well, Tannehill didn't look good. They didn't look sharp, so I need to play him on Saturday. I don't think he'll change. Whatever he has decided going into this, I think is what he'll stick with. I have seen rarely teams sort of change on the fly, but I wouldn't think Mike Vrabel would go that way.
But can you see this possibly happen? Because we also got to look at, Willis and Levis. How are they looking in these joint practices and then entering the game? Because my thought is, okay, you allow Willis, he earned the play to be the starter the first preseason game. I wonder if, as a coaching staff, you're thinking, okay, now we're going to give Will Levis an opportunity. Regardless of what happens in practice, we're going to give Will Levis an opportunity to start and play with that first unit. It makes me believe that regardless of what happens, Tannehill's not playing, Henry's not playing, and D-Hop's not playing. I would be surprised if Traylon and Chig was playing.
I would be surprised too, I just don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah, I don't agree, but I think they are to a point now where they have no depth. So if anybody get injured, what do you do then? So it's almost the roster behind the starters have paralyzed you where you can't do much. Like, even if you wanted to play your starters, you know, a quarter or two or a quarter.
And I don't even need to see them for a quarter.
But you're almost, in a sense, paralyzed because what if one of those guys get hurt? I know they can get hurt in practice. I get all that. But what if one of those guys get hurt?
Can't play football scared?
Now you can play cautious right now. Every team play cautious in regards to who I'm going to put out there and who I want. You can play cautious. Not that I'm scared. I'm being smart as a head coach and a GM. Nope, we're not putting those guys out there. It elevates it even more when you don't have the depth. So I'm not going to throw my first line guys out there when my depth is not proven.
I'm just saying you don't need to. In my opinion, I don't think you need to make up that decision right now. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I would go into this week in Minnesota and say, you tell me what I should do on Saturday. I'll let what we see in practices dictate who's playing on Saturday. I think it's very similar to what we saw from the first team offensive line against the Bears. I don't know if the plan all along was you're going to play one series no matter what. Mm-hmm. If they went 3-and-out in that first series, I do believe we probably would have seen a little bit more from the first team offensive line. But since they went out there and the first series was 12 plays, I believe, that's a solid enough sample size. Mm-hmm. They did their job. All right, good job. Take your helmets off. You're on the sideline. You know, good job. Didn't give up a sack there. So that kind of their play and the way the game was going, I believe, dictated how many series the starting offensive line played. I'm saying that's all I would want this team to do with the joint practices in Minnesota. If all goes well, first team offense is cooking, then great. You earned the right to be on the sidelines on Saturday.
I'm also curious, do we see Will Levis get a chance with the first line, for example? Like, I don't know how they want to do the quarterback shuffle on Saturday. Are they going to do the alternating, or do they try to do something a little bit different this time to get a different look from the two guys? Let's take last year, for example. They made the decision. Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, those guys weren't playing. They were not going to play regardless. So I'm guessing their philosophy is the same. It looks the same. And there was a ton of focus on Malik Willis last year. They basically let him play the whole time. They didn't even give Logan Woodside a chance to play a whole lot when you got down to it.
No.
By the way, Logan Woodside is the backup for the Falcons, for what that's worth. So he's still in the league, right? Somebody, it's not you do wonder what if they had decided to go a different route with Woodside and Willis. But they threw Willis in there. A huge focus of the preseason was letting him get in there, get his feet wet, and play a lot. So I think that looks like the same way they're going this year. There is a lot of focus on let's get these two quarterbacks up to speed, let's let them compete, and let's develop these guys while we have a chance. The rest of it seems very secondary to me. Getting the things that we think about a lot, getting the offensive line ready, getting the first team offense ready. They don't seem to be looking at these games as the way to do that.
I agree, but I disagree with that mindset. But let's hear what Mike Vrabel has to say about it. He is up at the podium now in Minnesota.
I mean, I think we've been getting a lot of really good work in against ourselves, and I think that's probably, you know, this is a good time to end that and start this process here the next 2 weeks. And, you know, again, we've talked about the different skill sets of players in this league, different schemes that we'll have to face throughout the season. And now, instead of having, you know, ourselves the game plan against or understand and maybe having a little bit more time, now we just have two practices and then a game. So this is going to be some hands-on experience, I think, just learning, you know, different guys' route crafts, releases, different players at the line of scrimmage. So that can help us and just say, okay, let's make some corrections, or what do we need to adjust on going into tomorrow and then the game? Well, I mean, I think you want to have some exposure, but maybe not a whole lot other than just some some personnel or some looks, you know, whether that's different fronts that we may see. You know, we'd like to have the players as prepared as possible, but also understanding that, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time after Chicago, but we tried to give them a little bit. And then, you know, what has to happen is they have to go out there and use their roles and communicate. And, you know, we've talked about how critical the 11 guys on the field are, you know, communicating and making sure that they're on the same page. Well, I'm sure that they did. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, a game tape from, you know, didn't play last week. And I mean, again, they're pros. They'll come out here and practice and hopefully, you know, compete and challenge and go from there. Well, you're going to see a lot of them move the ball and having some unscripted periods that, you know, allow Tim and Shane and, you know, who's calling it on their side to be able to adjust to what they're seeing and going from first to second and second to third. And, you know, then just work the end of the game operation today, and we'll do that. And then tomorrow work in the red zone. So those are, you know, normally what we've done, you know, throughout these processes. Well, I think it matters every day, whether we're in Minnesota, whether we're in Tennessee, whether we're in Illinois. You know, every day is part of the process, and see what they, you know, can improve on and where they make adjustments and, you know, how they handle certain situations. All I heard was Kevin O'Connell and my impression, so... You got a big fan right there, just maybe a little louder. I'm not sure what you asked me. I apologize. Well, I mean, how he's done so far. I met a lot of success here last year. So the impression, you know, I think just, you know, it's like him and Cliff came in. I, you know, at some point in time, I couldn't tell those apart. It was like, he came in and replaced Cliff Kingsbury, and, you know, conscientious, obviously, smart player, you know, picked everything up really well, and, you know, just happy for his success and the teammates that I've had that have gone on to success in coaching or broadcasting or anything off the field that they're doing, and Kevin's another example of that. Well, I can promise you that having not watched practice and having no idea that there's going to be some things that are good, there's going to be some things that are bad, and there's going to be some things that will get us beat that we'll have to eliminate. Every day we go out there and practice, there's those things. And I'll do it the same way I always do it. You know, we'll have a meeting. We'll try to continue to stockpile all the good things. We'll have to fix the bad things and then eliminate the things that get us beat. And you know, we'll look at the effort. We'll ask players to, you know, show us their effort and ones that they thought were up to our standard and the ones that aren't up to our standard. You know, I'm sure that if we think it'll give us the best chance to convert in short yardage situations, then we'll entertain the idea. As far as stopping it, you know, I mean, I'm sure we'll have other ideas. You know, these are things that are hard to practice, you know, just in training camp, just, you know, talking about goal line and short yardage and, you know, making sure that we're doing everything to, you know, protect the players and stay up. But, you know, it's an effective play. It's a creative play, and you know, one that, you know, the injuries would tell you that there weren't injuries that were occurring on the play. So, you know, everybody has a choice
You know, everybody pays their quarterback a certain amount of money, and you can decide to run quarterback sneaks or not. Again, we'll see what gives us the best chance to convert. We've handed it off to Derek. We've thrown it, and we've quarterback sneaked it. So we've been okay on third and one. We'd like to always be better. Taking the day off, Gentry? Sure, let's go, Gentry. Well, I don't want to say that I can't remember, Gentry, what those reasons were in Tampa. I really can't. But we've tried to, you know, again, you know, be intentional with how we've structured practice and, you know, getting some guys out there for half a practice and something that we've done in the past with veteran players and, you know, whether they need individual periods and things like that, or maybe the most important thing is some team periods, you know, so we kind of structure the practice accordingly. So sometimes maybe guys can come out at different places, but you know, everybody has a plan each and every day. I don't know what it was like 2 years ago, but you know, hopefully we'll have guys that are, they're available, and that may change from today and going in tomorrow. We'll see what that looks like after we practice today. No, this is going to be it. This is going to, I'm going to be the guy.
I mean, we couldn't have gotten microphones. Like, Kirk Cousins couldn't have donated a little bit of his quarterback Netflix money.
Exactly. Like, come on.
Some microphones for the reporters? My goodness. Well, let's react to what Mike Vrabel had to say there coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know, I'm sure that if we think it'll give us the best chance to convert in short yardage situations, then we'll entertain the idea. As far as stopping it, you know, I mean, I'm sure we'll have other ideas. You know, these are things that are hard to practice, you know, just in training camp. Just, you know, you're talking about goal line and short yardage and, you know, making sure that we're doing everything to, you know, protect the players and stay up. But, you know, it's an effective play. It's a creative play. And, you know, one that, you know, the injuries would tell you that there weren't injuries that were occurring on the play. So, you know, everybody has a choice. You know, everybody pays their quarterback a certain amount of money, and you can decide to run quarterback sneaks or not.
There goes Mike Vrabel at the podium in Minnesota. Day one of Titans and Vikings joint practices. Head tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball today at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, will join us in 15 minutes. But I thought it was interesting there. Mike Vrabel mentioned we're going to be working on end-of-game situations, which, of course, is going to be in your practice repertoire. No matter what, you're going to be going through red zone. You're going to be going through two-minute. You're going to be going through end-of-game situations. But that's something that we have emphasized. When I was on yesterday on Jared's show, I was talking to Trevor Maddich. When you guys were talking to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, that's what those two were disappointed in, was Will Levis's end-of-game management.
Yeah, so those are things that Vrabel wants to work on, and I think he wants to work on it with all the quarterbacks. Here's the part that I think is going to make it sort of interesting in regards to the offense. Which one of these quarterbacks are they going to play in the preseason game? Which one of these quarterbacks is going to get the most snaps? Who do I think should? I think it's fair to allow Levis to play with the first team front line, at least, because Malik Willis was able to play with them last week. I think Levis should be given an opportunity to play with that first unit. Now, if he wants to play the first offensive line more than one series, then I don't care who starts. Because they're both going to get an opportunity to play with the first team offensive line. But if he only plans on playing the offensive line a series again, maybe two, then I think Levis needs to be the quarterback that is starting just so he can get an opportunity to play against that first team, play with that first team offensive line, so I can get a better evaluation of both guys playing on the same on the same level, on playing field, as far as, you know, the guys they're going to be playing with. It's unfair, you know, if you throw Willis back out there, well, Levis back out there, and he's playing with the second team offensive line. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. Even regardless if he plays well or not, you need to give him the same opportunity, and vice versa. I would say that about Willis. If Willis didn't start the first game, you have to get a true evaluation of both guys. I believe you got to give them the opportunity to play with the same, play in the same situation that the other guy is playing in, meaning the same offensive line.
I think it's going to be something to watch for. If we presume that Tannehill is not going to play on Saturday, then how many reps do you give Tannehill as opposed to the other two guys? Because you got three guys you're really looking at. Most of the time, most years, there's really your starter, the backup gets a few, and then the third guy just gets whatever the leftovers are in these practices.
Throw them into the third or fourth quarter, hope for the best.
Especially when you get into what D-Mace is saying, and I'd like to see X quarterback with the top guys some. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that with three guys? That's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So I would think that you use these practices. The priority is Tannehill mm-hmm. in the practices if he's not going to play Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to play the starters, at least the starting offensive line, then Saturday is the day you really focus on the two younger quarterbacks. That's how I would do it, but I'm curious to how they break up the reps because it is difficult mm-hmm. to get three guys the amount of reps you want to get them.
I would agree that the priority is Tannehill, and I would agree that if I had to guess what the Titans are going to do, not what I want them to do, but what I assume that they're going to do is mm-hmm. Tannehill throughout the practices is going to see the most work with the first team. First mm-hmm. team offensive line with Treylon Burks, with Chig, with DeAndre Hopkins. And then come Saturday, that's when the backup quarterbacks battle, you know, round two, mm-hmm. ding, ding, you know, kind of kicks off on Saturday. But I will repeat and reiterate what I think that they should do is to not have a plan for what's going to happen on Saturday, is to let it play out throughout the week. Because if Tannehill is going to be your priority, which it should be your priority, your first team offense should absolutely be your priority over the back, even over a backup quarterback competition, you let this week dictate what Saturday is going to do, what you're going to do on Saturday. But I think that they're going to prioritize Tannehill with the first team against the first team defense, and then Saturday's the backup quarterbacks. And I agree with you, D-Mace, that they should start Will Levis on Saturday if mm-hmm. they are not going to start Tannehill.
Yeah, it's just, again, because of because how teams view the preseason now, because there's one less preseason, you know, it's you can't sort of look at past history on what teams used to do, because what they used to do was play a couple of plays the first game, play you two series the second game, third game you play up until halftime, and then we don't see you no more until the season starts. Well, because of this new collective bargaining, guys are getting more money, certain positions, you know, you can't risk it. You're starting to see more teams opt not to play their starters, you know, some for the whole preseason. Some, you know, they elect to not plan for two games and end up playing them either the first game or the middle game and maybe not, you know, two others. So I guess it just depends on, you know, what this team is trying to accomplish. Are they looking for depth? Are they trying to solidify their depth while figuring out the offensive line? Because I truly believe that's what I think they realize who our starters are going to be for the season when you're talking skill position, running back, receiver, quarterback. They know that. And they know potentially who their backup is. But that offensive line and their backups, that's what they're trying to figure out. And then the backup quarterback. So to me, if they have a good practice, the first team offense, if they have a good practice, I think Vrabel will see enough in these 2 days to say, you know what? I don't need to play my starters. I don't need to play my quarterback. I don't need to play my two receivers. I am going to now play the offensive line And I think I want to believe they've already determined who's going to start this preseason game. I think they want to make it fair. I think they want to give Will Levis an opportunity to play with that starting unit, and that's the way they're going to go. I don't think Ryan Tannehill will see the field this second preseason game because they believe that he will get enough work in these two joint practices.
Do you think they'll alternate him again?
Oh, man. I think they will because I think they are getting these guys used to what's going to happen in a game. You may have to come in, like we talked about yesterday. You may have to come in, and Ryan Tannehill may lose his shoe or his shoelace bust. I don't know. Breaks. And he has to run to the sideline. So, second string quarterback, you better take a few snaps and come on in. Mm-hmm. That's how he wants to simulate sort of a real-time situation. So, I think they will continue to go with the one series on, one series off. Now, the last preseason game may be different. That one may be a situation where, you know, whoever starts ends up playing a considerable amount of time and then the next guy comes in.
I didn't hate what they did on Saturday.
No, I didn't hate it.
In the beginning of the game, I thought, like, what are we doing here, Mike? What in the world? Throughout the rest of the game, it started to grow on me. And then once Vrabel explained why they did that, hey, when you're a backup quarterback, you're going to have to come in at a moment's notice and you might be cold. So I think I'm glad that they're kind of simulating that. I wouldn't hate them switching it up this week because we've done that. That was your first experiment. That was your first test. Now can you tackle an entire quarter? I'd like to see that. I'd like to see how they're able to command an entire quarter, and then you still kind of get that feeling of having to come in cold if they alternate quarters. Let's say it's Levis first quarter, Willis second quarter, vice versa.
And it does affect who you're playing with and who you're playing against, because the other team is an alternating units, right? So whoever's playing, if you do it that way, whoever's playing the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. you're going to be playing against the scramblers, and that can create a pretty chaotic situation for sure. So that may not be the same thing evaluating. So I did like the alternating for a while. I'm curious to see what they do with it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' first preseason game, what he thinks the team should do in joint practices with the Vikings. Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.